When John Delaney entered Mount Juliet Golf Club for his 50th birthday celebration in 2017, he did so with all the pomp of a reigning monarch. The James Bond-themed extravaganza featured ice sculptures, cardboard cutouts of Delaney as a footballer, and a cake modeled after the Aviva Stadium with working floodlights. UEFA President Alexander Seferin, Ireland manager Martin O'Neill, and various football dignitaries watched as Delaney made a tearful declaration of love to his fiancée Emma English. What most guests didn't know was that the Football Association of Ireland, an organization struggling financially, had spent over $80,000 on the party. Though Delaney would eventually reimburse $50,000, the remaining $30,000 burden on the association foreshadowed the financial catastrophe he had created. The celebration exemplified what had made Delaney both beloved and controversial: his charisma, his networking prowess, and his willingness to spend lavishly while positioning himself at the center of Irish football. But beneath the champagne and celebrity appearances lurked serious questions about governance and financial management that would eventually bring his empire crashing down. John Delaney's ascent through the FAI ranks began in the shadow of his father Joe's disgrace. After Joe Delaney was forced to resign as honorary treasurer in 1996 over financial irregularities, his son seemed determined to both restore the family name and exact revenge on those who had humiliated his father. When John joined the FAI's board of management, he quickly positioned himself against the ambitious Aircom Park Stadium project championed by Bernard O'Byrne, who had succeeded his father. Delaney's political instincts were evident from the start. He allied himself with Brendan Menton and John Byrne, a self-described card-carrying member of Fianna Fáil, with connections to then-Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. Their tactics included orchestrating well-timed letters from the Taoiseach's office before crucial board meetings and raising fears about personal liability among board members. "Do you guys realize if this goes arse over tit, people will come after your houses?" Delaney warned, frightening several members despite their protection under limited company status. By December 2000, the Aircom Park project had collapsed, and Delaney publicly attacked O'Byrne in the Sunday Times, demanding transparency while dismissing suggestions that his father's history influenced his opposition. The irony of Delaney demanding transparency would become apparent years later when his own financial dealings came under scrutiny. When Menton finally secured the general secretary position after O'Byrne's departure, a vacancy opened for honorary treasurer. Though initially claiming to be too young for the role, Delaney allowed his arm to be twisted. Despite concerns about another Delaney controlling FAI finances so soon after Joe's downfall, many saw John's elevation as making amends for his father's humiliation, a narrative he skillfully cultivated. As the youngest ever honorary treasurer, Delaney quickly asserted control. At his first board meeting, he announced cuts to business class travel. His relationship with Menton deteriorated rapidly as he systematically undermined the general secretary's authority, banning executive staff from board meetings and strong-arming sponsors like Umbro for additional funds. The pattern was established early. Delaney would use charm, intimidation, and political maneuvering to consolidate power while eliminating potential rivals. The 2002 World Cup presented Delaney with the perfect opportunity to raise his profile. When Roy Keane dramatically quit the squad in Saipan after rows over training facilities and late kit deliveries, Delaney joined a crisis committee with Des Casey and John Byrne. He volunteered to handle the press conference, impressing observers with his composure while backing manager Mick McCarthy without condemning Keane. Privately, he briefed select football journalists afterward, launching his media profile. Despite McCarthy declaring the matter closed, Delaney secretly tried to broker Keane's return through his agent Michael Kennedy without consulting General Secretary Menton or McCarthy, creating further chaos. This pattern of unilateral action without proper consultation would become a hallmark of his leadership style. As Ireland's World Cup campaign transformed into a positive story with spirited performances, Delaney's behavior became increasingly problematic. Without authorization, he threw open the hotel bar in Chiba for free drinks, running up a $20,000 tab that he later pressured embarrassed local authorities to cover. During this period, he approached McCarthy suggesting he should renegotiate his contract terms to include an exceptional performance bonus of 100,000 sterling, instructing staff not to mention the amount to FAI President Milo Corcoran or General Secretary Menton. After Ireland was knocked out by Spain, Delaney leaked details about McCarthy's bonus to journalists, portraying the manager as having held the FAI to ransom, a false characterization that damaged McCarthy's reputation. McCarthy resigned in November 2002, taking only a three-month payoff rather than fighting the smear campaign. Meanwhile, Delaney systematically undermined Menton, with board member Brendan Dillon noting how Menton had become such a beaten docket who was so undermined that he mounted only a meek defense when Delaney blamed him for problems. The Genesis report, commissioned to investigate the Saipan affair, criticized the FAI's management structures but conveniently omitted the Delaney-McCarthy bonus fiasco. When Menton resigned, Delaney deflected attention from the bonus controversy by prematurely leaking Brian Kerr's appointment as Ireland manager to waiting journalists. With both McCarthy and Menton gone, Delaney's path to the top job was clear. Despite external opposition, including Sports Minister John O'Donoghue declaring the FAI needed to grow up, Delaney was named interim CEO in November 2004 and secured the permanent position in March 2005 with a $290,000 annual salary. At just 37, he had achieved his ambition through a combination of political maneuvering, media manipulation, and the systematic elimination of rivals. Delaney's early tenure impressed even skeptics like John Byrne, who declared, in the first 18 months, he was brilliant. With key allies in place, including retired Garda Superintendent Eddie Murray as honorary treasurer, Delaney implemented long-stalled reforms and secured the FAI share for the Lansdowne Road Stadium redevelopment. However, his management style showed troubling signs. When Soccer Writers Association President Neil O'Riordan criticized the state of Irish football at their annual banquet, Delaney sent an angry email to all members. When league champion Shelbourne faced relegation for licensing breaches, Delaney tried pressuring licensing committee chairman Donna Morgan to reverse the decision, backing down only when Morgan offered to resign rather than compromise the committee's independence. The contrast between FAI and IRFU management became stark during the Lansdowne Road redevelopment. While the rugby union's 10-year ticket offer sold out quickly, the FAI lagged behind, repeatedly missing stadium financing targets despite Delaney's public optimism. Delaney's managerial appointments proved disastrous. After Brian Kerr's dismissal, Delaney promised a world-class manager, but ultimately settled on Steve Staunton, a relatively inexperienced coach working as an assistant at third-tier Walsall. Despite technical director Packy Bonner's reservations, Delaney proceeded, pairing Staunton with 72-year-old Bobby Robson as mentor in what the FAI dubbed a world-class management team. Staunton's tenure quickly unraveled. After early friendly defeats and a disastrous 5-2 loss to Cyprus in Euro 2008 qualifying, the media savaged both Staunton and Delaney. When fans unveiled Delaney out banners and chanted "Delaney must go" at matches, Delaney distanced himself from the appointment, claiming it was a subcommittee of three which was ratified by the board. The pattern repeated with subsequent managers. Delaney secured billionaire Dennis O'Brien's financial backing to hire Giovanni Trapattoni, then Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane, creating a facade of ambition while the organization's finances deteriorated behind the scenes. Each appointment was presented as a masterstroke, regardless of results, with Delaney always positioned as the architect of success while deflecting blame for failures. With Trapattoni secured, Delaney launched his ambitious plan to finance the FAI's $90 million stadium commitment through premium seat sales. The Vantage Club scheme aimed to sell 10,000 10-year tickets, nearly double what the IRFU had sold, at $32,000 each, more than double the IRFU's 15,000 tickets, which had already sold out. The scheme launched on September 18, 2008, just 3 days after Lehman Brothers collapsed. Undeterred by the global financial crisis, Delaney and ISG's Andrew Hampel remained bullish. "There are 33,000 millionaires in Ireland," both men claimed, "and we only need 3,000 to say yes." As recession hit Ireland, the scheme faltered catastrophically. The FAI targeted the football family with incentives, pressuring development officers to sell tickets. The Leinster Football Association sold its headquarters and committed about $600,000 for 60 tickets. David Hurst admitted, "If you wanted to progress in football, you had to play ball with the CEO." By 2011, the FAI's finances were in shambles. The premium ticket scheme had become a disaster, with the FAI owed up to $6 million from defaulted payments. To maintain appearances, Delaney authorized discounted or free tickets for less popular matches and quietly awarded additional 10-year tickets to existing Vantage Club members. According to a senior source, the FAI was effectively insolvent from 2010, though Delaney kept finding ways to use future income to temporarily stave off financial collapse. Rather than acknowledging failure, Delaney doubled down on his public persona. He chartered a train for 800 fans to the relocated Slovakia-Ireland match in Salina, reportedly spending $5,000 of his own money on beer. Fans sang, "Oh, John Delaney, used to be a wanker, but he's all right now," as he personally sold corporate tickets from the Holiday Inn lobby. This populist approach, cultivating the image of a man of the people while engaging in questionable financial practices, became his signature strategy for maintaining power despite mounting evidence of mismanagement. As the FAI's financial situation deteriorated, Delaney's personal behavior became increasingly problematic. At Euro 2012 in Poland, he was frequently found drinking heavily in Sopot's bars, often instructing FAI staff to use corporate credit cards to fund his revelry. After Ireland's 4-0 loss to Spain, videos emerged of an intoxicated Delaney being carried shoulder-high by fans, declaring they had been absolutely fucking brilliant. When FAI President Paddy McCall confronted Delaney about his behavior, arranging a mediated meeting with board member Eamon Naughton and mediator Tom Jordan, Delaney responded aggressively, threatening that he would bring down the FAI if the matter was brought to the board. McCall and Naughton understood this as a threat to use his sponsor connections against the financially precarious association. At the 2012 AGM, Delaney announced another salary reduction to $360,000 while implementing staff pay cuts of 10-15% and job losses. Yet his own lifestyle remained lavish. The FAI spent $5,000 premiering a fawning documentary called John the Baptist, where Dennis O'Brien declared Delaney could run UEFA easily. His girlfriend Emma English soon became a constant presence at matches and UEFA meetings, receiving personalized jerseys from various football associations. Delaney built his power base through personal connections with amateur clubs across Ireland. He spent weekends attending multiple club events nationwide, often promising grants of $5,000 to $10,000 or large allocations of international match tickets. Clonestown FC in Monaghan became a particular beneficiary, receiving substantial funding and eventually naming their ground John Delaney Park in 2013. While cultivating this grassroots support, Delaney pursued his UEFA Executive Committee ambitions. Despite announcing a Bank of Ireland refinancing deal that supposedly reduced stadium debt from $45 million to $35 million, the FAI soon breached banking covenants. As Delaney campaigned for a UEFA position with expensive promotional materials and European travel, the FAI was quietly running out of cash. The contrast between appearance and reality became stark. While Delaney posed with 500,000 casino chips alongside billionaire Mike Ashley and negotiated questionable deals with Sports Direct, the Irish Homeless World Cup team struggled to secure their promised $10,000 funding, receiving it only after threatening to go public. This pattern of prioritizing personal advancement and image over organizational health characterized Delaney's leadership throughout his tenure. In March 2015, Emma Byrne, captain of the Irish Women's National Team, contacted the Professional Footballers Association of Ireland, PFAI, about representation. Though housed in the FAI building, the PFAI operated independently from the FAI. At the English PFA Awards ceremony in London, Byrne shocked PFAI General Secretary Stephen McGuinness with details of the women's team's conditions. They had to change out of FAI tracksuits in airport toilets and return them, receive no payment despite giving up 40 workdays annually, had no compensation for lost earnings, often stayed in hotels without Wi-Fi, and faced substandard training conditions. When McGuinness attempted formal discussions about these issues, FAI's Peter Sherritt rejected this approach, stating playing for Ireland was for honor, unlike club contracts. McGuinness wrote directly to Delaney before Christmas, warning the team would take matters into their own hands, but an FAI director later admitted they simply don't have the money. After extensive preparation and despite intense pressure on players, the team delivered an ultimatum on March 27, 2017, threatening to withdraw from an upcoming Slovakia friendly unless the FAI recognized the PFI as their representatives. On April 4, 14 internationals wore green Respect T-shirts at Liberty Hall, creating a powerful media image. PFI solicitor Stuart Gilhooley declared the women had been treated like fifth-class citizens and dirt off the FAI shoe in what he called their Saipan moment. The public revelation about changing in toilets sparked widespread outrage. Meanwhile, Delaney was in Helsinki for the UEFA Congress, where he successfully secured election to the Exco with the second highest vote count. After 9 hours of negotiations through a mediator, the FAI conceded to most demands, including dedicated tracksuits and match payments. "Victory," tweeted Byrne. The women's team revolt exposed the stark contrast between Delaney's public image of success and the reality of an organization that couldn't provide basic dignity to its international representatives. Ruth Fahey, who had played for Wexford Youth's treble-winning team and worked in the FAI's legal department, wrote a newspaper column celebrating the team's fight, stating their grievances were valid and warranted. She was promptly suspended for bringing the FAI into gross disrepute and eventually resigned under pressure. After returning from his UEFA election victory, Delaney was welcomed back to Abbottstown with applause from staff. At the April board meeting, the FAI blamed the government, Sport Ireland, and the media for the women's strike situation while warning of cash income delays affecting creditor payments. The Emperor's new clothes were beginning to unravel, but the board remained largely complicit in maintaining the illusion of success. By 2018, Delaney faced dual challenges: impending governance reforms requiring term limits for directors and the men's national team's declining performance. New state funding rules would require directors to serve maximum 9-year terms, affecting 7 of 11 FAI board members who had served over 12 years. Delaney, exempt as CEO with 18 years service, agreed to introduce 8-year term limits, but with exemptions allowing current directors to complete their terms, ensuring Eddie Murray could remain treasurer until age 82 and Michael Cody could stay until turning 80. The FAI's financial struggles intensified despite Delaney's creative accounting. He aggressively lobbied FIFA and UEFA to advance payments meant for football development, directing these funds towards stadium mortgage payments. From FIFA's Forward 2 program, Delaney secured 2/3 of the $6 million up front, allocating $1.75 million to the stadium company, $2 million to mortgagees, and just $250,000 for women's football. Ireland's football performance deteriorated dramatically under Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane's management. A leaked WhatsApp recording revealed Keane verbally abusing players Harry Arter and John Walters, creating a toxic atmosphere. As Ireland suffered embarrassing defeats and poor performances, ticket sales plummeted. board members reported unprecedented difficulty selling tickets, with fans walking out mid-game. Delaney orchestrated O'Neill's replacement before formally consulting the board, negotiating a $1.6 million settlement with O'Neill and his staff. He had already arranged for Stephen Kenny to take the under-21 job with a guarantee to become senior boss after Euro 2020, while offering Mick McCarthy $1.2 million annually plus a $1.13 million exit payment when he left in 2020. The unusual succession arrangement was praised by media as a canny move, with even Minister for Sport Shane Ross praising Delaney despite mixing up names of Irish footballers in an interview. The FAI had budgeted for a $2.5 million profit in 2018, but would only return between $750,000 to $1 million, with Delaney blaming the senior men's team. A $2.5 million loss was projected for 2019. To plug the gap, Delaney secured additional funding from Dennis O'Brien, UEFA, and various FAI suppliers. Amateur football organizations were also tapped, effectively bailing out the FAI with tickets they couldn't use until late 2020. At the final board meeting of 2018, members lavished praise on Delaney, with Donald Conway expressing amazement at his work ethic and range, from FIFA president to talking about cutting grass in Tullamore. Conway added, "The abuse the CEO has to put up with is draining, and I don't know how he does it." The emperor still had his courtiers, but the financial house of cards was about to collapse. On March 1, 2019, journalist Mark Wine received an envelope containing two explosive documents, a photocopy of John Delaney's $100,000 personal check to the FAI, and an FAI remittance statement showing Delaney had been repaid $100,000 in June 2017. When Ty approached the FAI's incoming communications director, he insisted there is no story here and suggested it related to a family law matter. After 2 weeks of investigation, Ty sent Delaney a formal letter citing the 2009 Irish Defamation Act's provisions for fair and reasonable publication. Delaney escalated to seeking an emergency High Court injunction on Saturday, March 16th. At the hearing, Delaney's affidavit claimed the documents could only have come to its attention and/or into its possession in the context of family law proceedings. Judge Barr ruled that payments between the FAI and its chief executive were matters of significant public interest and refused the injunction. After losing in court, Delaney arranged an emergency FAI board teleconference. He explained he'd paid $100,000 to the FAI in April 2017 to keep cash flow correct after finance director Eamon Breen warned they might exceed their bank limit. Rather than questioning why the CEO hadn't informed the board about the bailout in 2017, directors expressed sympathy for Delaney, with one saying, "What the CEO did just showed he cared too much." The $100,000 story broke on the day of the FAI International Awards. Avoiding journalists, Delaney entered RTE Studios through a back entrance and cornered Minister Shane Ross, assuring him the story would soon blow over and hinting he might move to a UEFA role. As pressure mounted, Delaney unveiled his plan for a structural review of the FAI, proposing to split his role and bring in consultant Jonathan Hall to evaluate the organization. He suggested becoming executive vice president while a new CEO would handle domestic operations. The board responded with effusive praise, with Cody warning losing Delaney would be a disaster. Not a single director questioned the timing of this reorganization, coming just as the $100,000 payment story was emerging. Meanwhile, the Sunday Times was pursuing an explosive news story after a fearful source revealed the FAI had been secretly covering Delaney's rent up to $3,000 monthly for a decade, alongside luxury hotel bills and questionable credit card expenses. On the chartered flight to Gibraltar for Ireland's Euro 2020 qualifier, Delaney sat uncharacteristically quiet. In Gibraltar, Delaney held meetings with board members where Jonathan Hall's report proposed he become executive vice president. Conway was shocked to learn about previously unknown golden handcuffs agreements from 2014 guaranteeing Delaney $3 million in bonuses. When Conway asked if there were any other revelations that might make Delaney unfit for the role, Delaney swore, "On my daughter's life, you are not going to hear that." the board unanimously approved moving Delaney to executive vice president, with one member later explaining, "We were into damage limitation. The feeling was, yeah, just go ahead and move him out and do it quick." The board also learned for the first time about FAI paying Delaney's rent for over a decade, yet proceeded without demanding clarification. Far from taking the heat off, as Delaney had promised the board, his move to executive vice president intensified criticism. Before the Ireland-Georgia match, fans organized a tennis ball protest at the 33rd minute, a reference to Delaney's infamous demand that Ireland be allowed into the World Cup as the 33rd team following Thierry Henry's handball. The protest symbolized not just anger over the $100,000 payment or Delaney's sideways move, but the entire web of absurdity he had spun around Irish football. The FAI's appearance before the Oireachtas Committee on Transport, Tourism and Sport proved disastrous. Despite extensive preparation, Delaney blindsided Conway by announcing he wouldn't answer questions about his CEO tenure. During the 7-hour hearing, Delaney remained mostly silent, drinking water and occasionally whispering advice to Conway. Eddie Murray, the FAI's honorary treasurer for 15 years, damaged the FAI's credibility when he claimed the association had just one bank account, before being corrected that there were 24. TD Imelda Munster was particularly scathing, telling the delegation people across Ireland were scarlet for you over their evasive answers. Meanwhile, a nervous source provided journalist Mark Tye with 6 months of Delaney's FAI credit card statements and internal FAI records. The documents revealed Delaney had spent $40,000 in 6 months on his FAI card, including frequent cash withdrawals totaling over $6,000, luxury hotel stays at Ritz-Carlton's costing thousands, and personal expenditures at clothing stores, duty-free shops, and his local pub. The records also showed $60,000 in payments to Susan Keegan, Delaney's ex-girlfriend, for professional services. Delaney's silent treatment at the Oireachtas Committee hearing alienated even his loyal supporters on the board. The FAI was simultaneously hit with an unexpected financial blow when Sports Direct demanded the return of its $6.5 million sponsorship money. When Deloitte decided proper books weren't being kept and prepared to report this to authorities, the pressure became overwhelming. Board members Michael Cody and Eddie Murray resigned, leaving Delaney fatally exposed. On April 12th, the FAI board initiated exit negotiations with Delaney. The marathon negotiation stretched until 7 a.m., with Delaney initially demanding $3 million before accepting a proposed settlement of $450,000 plus perks. When the board discovered Delaney had lied about payments to Susan Keegan totaling $95,000, many objected to the settlement. After months of negotiations, they finally reached a $462,000 settlement on September 28th. Delaney's requests for match tickets and a Ford car were rejected, and after another standoff over including his achievements in the resignation announcement, he accepted a brief statement merely noting the Aviva Stadium partnership and his UEFA Exco election. The Cossey Corporation's damning 103-page report on FAI finances revealed the FAI had violated 8 of UEFA's 10 governance principles, with Delaney acting as key influencer who navigated the machinery of governance to bypass checks and balances. The investigation found extravagant expenditure, inadequate financial controls, and staff chasing reasons for expenditure after it was incurred. On December 6, 2019, the FAI finally released its shocking 2018 accounts and restated figures for 2016-2017. The accounts revealed net liabilities of $55 million, with Deloitte refusing to sign off on the FAI as a going concern. The 2016 profit was restated from $2.34 million to just $66,000, while 2017's reported $2.75 million profit became a $2.85 million loss. The 2018 figures showed a devastating $9 million loss. By December 2019, the FAI faced imminent insolvency, with cash flow forecasts showing it couldn't meet its $625,000 pre-Christmas payroll. Grant Thornton projected possible losses of $16.3 million by end 2020. The FAI's desperate business plan showed a return to profitability only by 2023, requiring $18 million in short-term funding and significant job cuts. A rescue package was eventually forged, involving the Irish government, UEFA, and Bank of Ireland. In return, the FAI agreed to extensive reforms. 6 of 12 board members would be independent directors, with at least 40% female representation by 2023, and all FAI council members who had served over 10 years would be retired. Delaney's 15-year tenure left Irish football in financial ruin. The League of Ireland slipped from 38th to 42nd in UEFA rankings during his leadership, while the national team fell from 14th to 36th in FIFA rankings. Despite heavy investment in managers, Ireland qualified for just 2 European championships. Former directors admitted allowing Delaney to become too powerful, with ex-president Donal Conway acknowledging, "We allowed John to become the FAI, almost." The Emperor had finally been exposed, leaving behind a legacy of financial mismanagement, governance failures, and a football association in ruins. The champagne football was over, leaving only the hangover for Irish football to endure.